1. Maggie. There's something in the trees. I can't see it, but I can feel it. Its presence has a weight. The air is heavy with it. We're not alone. Ahead, the forest path climbs, narrowing on the horizon where the trees huddle, colluding in some conspiracy I'm not a part of. The blood pulsing in my ears blocks out every other sound. And although we're not moving, it's as if our fear propels us along the path towards its vanishing point on the skyline. If we reach it, we'll disappear. The trees crowd in, herding us in that direction, and I don't want to go. I'm afraid to stay, and I'm afraid to run. A twig snaps. I spin around, expecting to find someone standing there, but there's no one. The path is empty. And yet, instinctively, I reach behind me. My palms find Alfie's shoulders and I pull him close, making myself a wall between him and whatever's out there. He hides his face in the backs of my thighs as if he senses the danger too. Mist clings to the trees, and to my left and right, like a petrified army, their silhouetted torsos fade into the distance. The scent of damp pine, moss, and resin is cloying. It's hard to breathe. My jeans stick to my legs, and beneath my jumper, my t-shirt's damp against my spine. I don't need this wax jacket or these Gore-Tex-lined boots. I'm too hot. Lightheaded. Running a hand up the back of my neck, I lift the hair beneath my wax hat and pull it away from my skin. What little breeze there is barely cools me, so I let it go and its razored ends graze my shoulders. I tuck it behind my ears, which burn as though someone is talking about me. As I scan the shadows, the dark spaces between the lichen-covered trunks, my voice trembles. Is someone there?
2. Rose. Fingers grasping the door handle, I pause at the unexpected sight. The open integral blind in the door's small square window reveals a strange man looming over Daisy. He's dressed in a black shirt with a mandarin collar and is clearly not a doctor. Tenderly, almost lovingly, he brushes her red curls back from her face. And although I can't hear a sound through the door, I know he's talking to her because his lips are moving. He leans further forward and his shirt falls open slightly. The four contrasting red buttons that end beneath his breastbone are just for show. He has dark chest hair, a salt-and-pepper close-cropped beard, and salt-and-pepper hair. He's strikingly handsome, but not in a conventional way. Soft around the edges, with a kind face. I've never seen him before. Who is he? Nobody talks to my sister but me. All right, that's not strictly true. Zessero, one of the hospital porters, and Dion, the catering assistant for this floor, they speak to Daisy. But they're different. They're special. They're born of that rare breed of humans who genuinely, deeply care about other people. Even people they don't know. But they don't have long conversations with her like this. They just utter a few words of encouragement. Nobody really talks to Daisy but me. My sister makes people uncomfortable because she doesn't talk back. So who is this man? What could he possibly have to say to her that's taking so long? And why isn't he uncomfortable? There are two things I know about my sister. She doesn't have any friends left, and there's no way on God's earth she would have formed a romantic attachment before ending up in here. I'm about to throw open the door when he brushes back her hair again. His evident affection stopping me. I pause. I don't want to deprive Daisy of this rare moment. Her bed faces the door but slightly off to the left, so I lean sideways to get a better view, my nose almost pressed to the cool glass. A tug of longing, as if I'm outside peering in on a warm room, pulls at the base of my ribs. But then my phone pings in my handbag. a text message alert, and I duck as if I've been caught snooping through someone's kitchen window.